I don't know what makes me more nervous than seeing myself on TV up there or having my mother-in-law here with me. And I would like for Mrs. Jo Weaver to stand. And she's Michelle's mother. And she's going back to work with us in Mexico. And as of this next month, she'll be in charge of Children's Church, of our main work there. And so you pray for her. Really, I needed to put her in a place where I wouldn't have to see her all the time. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If you have your Bibles, let's open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I will not look towards my left. You all are very nice looking people over on this side. Preacher said, just don't look at the I'm glad you turned that one off. Thank you. Now I can look at the watch or the clock. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I didn't mention my sister-in-law's here too, Michelle's sister. And I'm glad she's here with us also tonight. If you have your place, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And then we'll go over a few pages to chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now let's turn over to chapter 8 and verse 9. I like hearing the Bible used. Amen. Verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Solomon, I think, was the richest man that this world has ever seen. I don't think Bill Gates has gotten to that. I don't think Carlos Slim has gotten to that, or Rockefeller ever was at that point. But yet, there was a richer man than him that walked this earth. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he left his riches and became poor. How poor did he become? He himself said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So there you have it. The richest man, Jesus Christ, became the poorest, so that in him you and I might be made rich. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we turn to your word, help us to see the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we see those riches, help us to put away our complaining and our bad mouthing, our own situation and our trials and our problems, because really in Jesus we have everything. He who has the Son has everything. And I thank you, Lord, that we have everything in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and you don't have to turn there, but Jesus Christ, Paul talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ, he says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, joint heir means that everything that belongs to Christ belongs to me. And so I can truthfully say that if you're in Christ, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. And if that's so, if that's true, then he that hath the Son has everything. What kind of riches do we have in Christ Jesus? And as I study the Bible, I see at least three riches that you and I have. First of all, we have the riches of his great wisdom. Look in Romans chapter 11. Right before Corinthians comes the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. In Mexico, they asked me, why do I always point out where that book of the Bible is wherever I'm going? I say, so I can find it. So Romans 11, verse 33, the Bible reads like this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Folks, I hold in my hand tonight the wisdom of God. I have the riches of his wisdom. No wonder the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you have the mind of Christ up here, but you have it available to you right here in his word. This is the mind of Christ. I can go nowhere else to find his will. I can go nowhere else to do what he wants me to do. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, how sad it is to be smart and to have an IQ of, I don't know how much IQs are. I don't count that high. But anyways, hey, they say that Britney Spears has a very high IQ, can speak 5 languages. But if you compare her with the wisdom of God, she's not a very wise person. And I want you to know today that it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you do not have the wisdom of God, you're not smart at all. And it doesn't matter how ignorant you are. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you are in his book and in his word and in his wisdom, he can make you wise unto all wisdom. My friend, we have the wisdom of God. I want to ask you, how many times has it been this week, this past week, that you've consulted his wisdom? For the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust the Lord in all thy ways. I can think of it in Spanish. Start it out for me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In Jesus, in the Son, we have everything. We have the greatness of his wisdom. What other riches do we have? If you'll go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, you'll find that we have the riches of his grace. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, we find the riches of his grace. Now, really, I find in the Bible that there are two types of grace. There's saving grace and sustaining grace. And look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you want the riches of God's grace, you've got to learn that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and that only Christ can save you. And if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. I'm glad that the grace of God is so rich that he can save the worst of sinners. Paul considered himself the worst of sinners, and yet he saved him. He can save you today, my friend. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can be saved today. The riches of his saving grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 speaks of the saving grace. But I want you to notice verse 7. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I want you to know that the riches of God's grace not only saves me, and I've always said, if Christ would only save me, I would be ahead. But he doesn't only save me. He provides for me, he provides for you the grace to sustain you throughout this life. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 23, and if you'll go with me to Psalm 23 real quick, I know most of us know that psalm. I know it in Spanish. But we'll go to Psalm 23. And I want you to notice some things about God's sustaining grace. No wonder the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I want you to notice the things that you and I should never want of in this psalm. We should never want of his provision, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We should never want of his peace, because he leadeth me beside the still waters. We should never want of his principles to live by, because he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We should never want of his presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We shall never want of preservation. Look at that verse in the last part of that verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now someone said to me, how in the world does that tell you that God preserves you? Well, I read, and if you'll just bear with me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says like this, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And every time God takes out his rod to chasten me, it is another promise that he has given, that he will chasten those whom he receives as children. And if you are without chastisement, then you're not a child of God. But if you sin, God will chastise you. And every time he chastises me, it's another way of him telling me, Danny, I've preserved you for heaven. You will never be condemned, but you can never get away from my leash. I'm going to get you. And oh, that's a great security. Isn't that great? He has provided a preservation. He has provided plenty. In verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He's provided a priestly anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He has provided prosperity. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I want to tell you something. It's a very sorry Christian that doesn't recognize the grace of God in his life, throughout his life, and say, and be able to say, God has been good to me. How sad it is when a Christian gets to the point that Jacob got to at the end of his life. When Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And Jacob answered his age, and then he said, few, and in the Spanish it says, bad have been my days. And that's terrible. For God had given him everything. God had given him a great family. God had given him riches. And yet at the end of his life, few days, I think he was about 120 about that time, and bad days have been my days. And I want you to know that really God prospers all of us. It is sad to see Christians who have everything and yet complain, God hasn't been good to me. But God has been good to you. He prospers you. And then he gives you a great promise. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see, just in Psalm 23, we find the riches of God's sustaining grace. I'm glad that God's grace saved me. I'm glad that God's grace keeps me. I'm glad that he gives me the riches of his grace. And that's why you can pillow your head, whether it be a silk pillow tonight or just a little bedroll of a pillow. You can say, God has been good to me because he sustains you. So you see, we have the riches of his great wisdom. We have the riches of his grace. Finally, we also have the riches of his glory. I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. After Ephesians comes Philippians and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. When the Bible speaks of glory, and by the way, we didn't get our heads together about the theme of singing tonight, but it goes with the message. And we think of glory, we think of heaven. But the Bible speaks of four different types of glory. And I want you to notice these types of glory, because I think that a lot of times in our Christian life, we think of glory just as heaven. But I want you to note that we have more than just heaven to look forward to. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to note today that the Bible says that when we receive Christ, he dwells in our heart. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He dwells in me. That's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The greatest glory I think that you and I could ever think of. Not that someday we will dwell with God, but that God, the sovereign God, the holy God, our great God, lives in me. Wow! That's astonishing. Just to think He lives in me. Just to think He wants to tabernacle, not with me, but in me. Everywhere I go, He goes. Whatever I do, He's doing it with me. God in me, the hope of glory. Wow! If that doesn't make you shout, I think you're not even a Baptist. But not only do we have His glory living in us, but we have His glory to strengthen us. Look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. I was in 2:16. I was getting nervous. But look at verse 16 of chapter 3. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want you to note that not only do I have the riches of His glory in me, but I have the riches of His glory to strengthen me. And if I am lacking in the power of God, it's not His fault. If I am lacking in stamina to do God's will, it is not His fault. If I am lacking, it is not because I do not have it. It's sort of like the time that Michelle and I were going through some rough times and we didn't know what we were going to do. For about a week there, we were pinching our pennies and didn't know what to do. And all the time, somebody had deposited some money in our bank account. We didn't know it. Had I just looked into the bank account, we wouldn't have had to have beans and tortillas. We could have had steak. And I think a lot of times Christians are that way. You go through a lot of problems in life and needs in life, and you're scrounging when all the time you have the glory of His strength to strengthen you in the inner man, and you do not avail yourself of it. No wonder Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. How terrible to be weak and defeated when all the time we have available to us the riches of His glory, of His power. Power to bring down strongholds. Power to preach. Power to overcome the devil. Power to resist. Power to win souls. We have available to us that power because God's glory not only dwells in us, but strengthens us. We have the glory of God dwelling in us, strengthening us, and also rewarding us. Look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26. Hebrews 11 verse 26. Talking or speaking about the faith of Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, if you serve Christ, and if you're not serving man, if you serve Christ, and you're not serving your own ego, if you serve Christ, then your eyes aren't what is being done here. Your eyes are far beyond. That's why Paul says to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's why Paul says to keep our eyes on the reward. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, we will reap, if we faint not. You see, don't complain when things go wrong, when the circumstances do not look right. The reproach of Christ is greater than any treasure that this world could ever give us. Because beyond this world, we will receive a reward. Yes, we do have a glory to look forward to. But it's not just to walk on streets of gold. It's to be able to receive the rewards that God has for faithful service to Him. We not only have the glory of His presence in us, the glory of His strength for us, the glory of His rewards in future, but we also have the glory of Him supplying today. Look in Philippians 4:19, and I think most of you know that verse of Scripture. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God never promised me that I would have everything I wanted. But God has promised to give me what I need. I was looking back on the year 2007, and I keep a record of my prayer list. And as I was looking back, I counted at least 300 and I want to say 98, it might be 89, specific prayer requests that God answered in 2007. God does answer prayer. The trouble is, we do not rely on Him to answer prayer. So if you have the Son, you have everything. You have the glory of Christ dwelling in us, strengthening us, rewarding us, supplying us. He who has the Son has many riches. We have the riches of His great knowledge. We have the riches of His grace. We have the riches of His glory. I would like for you to go to one more verse of Scripture, Romans chapter 2. If you do not have Christ as your Savior, of all people you are poor. You do not have these riches. But you can avail yourself of these riches, because in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 it says, Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is rich to those that receive Him as Savior. Yet He is also rich to those that do not receive Him. If you're here without Christ tonight, it's God's grace that has gotten you thus far. He has been rich to you. You do not deserve to be alive. I don't deserve to be alive. The only difference between you and me is that I have availed myself of His grace. I have said, God, I can't. You can save me. And He saved me. But if you do not know Christ, God in His riches, His grace, He's extending His hand out to you. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, He's rich towards you today because you're alive. He's rich towards you today because He's given you one more opportunity to get saved. But if you reject this opportunity, there's another treasure for you. Look in verse 5, Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, God has a rich, rich, rich heritage for you if you'll only trust Him. But if you do not trust Jesus, you will have a rich, rich wrath. You treasure up, it uses the word treasure, you treasure up wrath for the day of wrath. So you can have two types of riches. Heavenly riches or hellish treasures. That's what God is offering you tonight. And it's up to you to receive or reject what God has offered you. They say that during the Vietnam War, there was a rich man and his son that collected art treasures. And every time they would buy some painting by some famous painter, they would put it in the center of the mansion that they lived in, and they would call the friends and neighbors to come and see it. And that was their hobby. One day, the son of this rich painter was called on duty to go to Vietnam. When he was in Vietnam, he would tell his comrades all about the paintings that they had, the paintings that they wanted to buy. And he was so excited about it. And then one day, while helping one of his buddies that was wounded, he himself was shot and killed. The buddy that he helped get to safety was so impressed by this young man's testimony of the paintings that his dad had and that he and his dad collected. He decided to take up art himself. And after about a year, he painted a picture of what this young man looked in uniform. And he went and took it to his father. His father answered the door. The young man said, "Your son saved me, and because he saved me, he died." And it was because of his telling about the paintings in this house that I decided to take up painting, oil painting. And I drew this of your son. I know it's not very professional, but I wanted you to have it as a token of my appreciation of what your son did for me. And the father looked at the painting and he saw the determined look in his eyes and the set jawbone, and he said, "This is a very liking of my son. I'm going to put it up in the middle of all my famous paintings." And he did so. Later on, that rich man died, and they auctioned off all of his paintings. So many people were there to buy these famous paintings, and they noticed that there was something under a canvas in the middle of the foyer. And the auctioneer came up and said, "According to the rules of this auction, before we can get on with the auction of all the paintings, we have to auction off this painting first." And he unveiled it, and it was the picture of the son. And he said, "Who will give $100 for this painting?" No one wanted that painting. Oh, they all wanted the Rembrandts and the other paintings. And they said, "Get on with the auction. We don't want that painting." He said, "Who will give $50 for this?" And no one gave $50. Then someone at the very back stood up and said, "Sir, all I have is $10. Somebody cackled, "Give it to him for $10, and let's get on with the auction." So the auctioneer said, "Going once for $10. Going twice for $10. Sold to the gentleman in the back for $10. Would you come up and receive your painting?" And he came up and paid the $10, received the painting, and he said, "Stop there just a moment." He said, "According to the rules of this auction, the auction is now closed." And different people started mumbling, "What's wrong? Hey, how about the other paintings?" And the auctioneer said, "Oh, is it the rules of the auction said that he who had the son had everything?" You see, that man for $10 got all those famous paintings because he had the son. And you see, that's exactly what the riches of God is all about. I have the son. I have everything. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment, we'll have an invitation. But before we have this invitation, I want to ask several questions. First of all, I want to ask you, do you have the Son? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die right now, you're sure that you'd go to heaven, not because you're a Baptist, not because you've been baptized, not because you're good, but because one day you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And you can say with an uplifted hand, "I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have the Son." Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. The vast majority. You may place your hands down. Is there someone here tonight that would say, "Brother Danny, I don't have the Son, but I'd like to have the Son. I don't have the pardon of my sins, But I would like Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I would like to know if you are interested in your own soul and you would like for us to help you get saved. Just raise your hand, and if you'll raise your hand, let me see it. I'll say, God bless you, and then I'll ask Pastor to have someone go and speak to you, and they'll take you out in private. They'll talk to you in private. You can ask Christ to come into your heart, and you can have the Son also. Is there someone like that tonight that would say, Brother Danny, I would like to have the Son. I'm not saved, but I would like to be saved. Is there someone like that? No one looking. I would not like to embarrass anybody. Just raise your hand. If you'll raise your hand, we'll speak to you. We'll tell you about Jesus Christ. Is there someone? Is there someone? I don't see anyone. Oh, if you do not know Christ, please accept Him today. He has given you the riches of being alive, being here, having that chance to receive Christ. Don't walk out of here without Christ. I want to ask a last question. How many today would say, Brother Danny, I have Christ. Sometimes I don't realize that I have His grace. Sometimes I complain. Sometimes I have His power and I don't avail myself of it. I have the greatness of His wisdom and I haven't consulted it lately. And some of the things you've said tonight have touched my heart. Brother Daniel, would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? You'd like to just raise your hand. The message has touched my heart. Is there someone like that? God bless you. God bless you. Is there someone else? God bless you. You may put your hand down. Is there someone else? I want to encourage you. If you haven't been to His great wisdom, start out this year in His book. If you don't realize how great God's grace has been in your life, Christians should be the most thankful people in the world, the most joyful people in the world, because God not only has saved us, He provides for us every day. You and I should be Christians full of His glory, knowing that He lives in us, He strengthens us, He helps us from day to day. Someday we'll get rewarded. Praise God for His glory. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that You would touch hearts tonight. That as You touch hearts, touch our lives, that we would leave here changed. Leave here different than whence we came in. In Jesus' name, we place this invitation in Your